Amen. We're delighted that the Father has watched over us, spared our lives on planet Earth, blessed us to worship Him this morning, and now back again on the same day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Delighted to see you. We're glad to have those of you who may be visiting with us. I want to call your attention for a few minutes to two passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. And then we'll go to chapter 9, and the lesson will be yours. So don't bat your eye too many times. You might miss us. We'll be going out the door. 2 Corinthians, chapter... What did I tell you? Oh, you remember. Wonderful. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. And we're going to be in the same neighborhood. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 and 9. Paul is excited about this congregation at Corinth. He has heard some, when you read the first letter that he sent to them, there were some things that they needed to take care of that was displeasing to the Father. And they followed his instructions. And now he writes them a letter commending their efforts and sharing with them some information regarding another congregation, not in the Corinth congregation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then we shall go by the grace of God to chapter 9, and then we shall go home. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses starting at verse number 1. And for those of you who are waiting for the title, two bragged on congregations. Two bragged on congregation. Now, you are familiar with the Apostle, many of you are familiar with the Apostle Paul through your study of the Bible. Paul was a no-nonsense type of fellow. He was converted by God through his chosen vessel. Paul, whatever he was involved in, he was involved in it. He was all the way in it. And God encouraged him to give his life to him. He has such strong encouragement to do that that he did it right away. Paul writes to this congregation at Corinth about another congregation. It's the other congregation that he's writing about in chapter 8. Two, and he's sending the message. This message is being sent to the church in Corinth. Moreover, brother, we do you to wit of the grace God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. So now, he is laboring at Macedonia, Paul is, because he's on a mission of collecting help for the needy saints. Moreover, brethren, we bear witness, or we are aware of, or we share with you some information regarding the church at Macedonia. Now, did you get it? He's writing to the church at Corinth about the church in Macedonia. I can bear record of them, how that in a great trial, did you see that? A great trial of affliction. I'm witness of the abundance of their joy. Now, Paul, and I think he had some helpers, had agreed to help collect some money for the congregation that was having some challenges. A year before this event, the church at Corinth had promised to make a donation to the needy saints. So he's writing them a letter at Corinth. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Are you all following this language? For to their ability or to their power, I'm a witness. I know their condition. I know their circumstances. At Macedonia. But they are pleading with us. Verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift that they want to give to help the needy saints. They don't see themselves as being needy. We're sons and daughters of God. And when you know that you're walking with the Lord, everything is all right. We know that already, but we can also get that from Paul's letters. Because several of his letters are written under dire circumstances. But you can never guess it from the way he writes his letters. Verse 4, pleading with us, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the needy saints. And this they did. They who? The saints at Macedonia. And this they did, not as we had hoped. And he's an apostle. Not as we thought that they would help. But they first... Wake up now, don't go to sleep yet. I just started. This they did, not as we had hoped, but they first trusted God. We can do this. And their motive was because we are sons and daughters of God. Are you there? And this they did, verse 5, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then they gave to us to carry their gift unto us by the will of God. Insomuch, verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, one of Paul's co-workers, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace at Corinth. Therefore, for this reason, as you abound in everything, isn't that a wonderful compliment for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen, Sandy Lane. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance, knowledge, in all diligence, love to us, don't stop now. See that you abound in this grace also. He's writing a letter. Paul apparently has bragged on the church at Corinth. And I want you to manifest a gift that corresponds to my bragging about y'all. Therefore, verse 7 again, therefore as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you do what? Abound in this grace also, Corinth, because I was with you a year ago, and you made promises. And we are over here in Macedonia, and these people are in dire straits, but you never know it by the life that they live and the liberality that they express. He says, now I'm not commanding you to do this, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. But by what I've seen others do, have experienced what others have done, I'm writing to encourage you and to prove the sincerity of the love, of your love. If you say you love the Lord, then show it. Isn't that some singing song you can sing? If you love me and you say it, doo-doo-doo, something like that. Never mind, maybe y'all are too old to know about that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might abound or might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you at Corinth, who have begun before, you've already started, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. You promised this a year ago. So now we're on our way to you. We don't want to be disappointed. Now therefore, perform. Are you there? Verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. What's he saying? Do what you promised to do. Sandy Lane. Are you getting this message? Do what you promised to do. I think Brother Blocker understands this. Do what you promised to do. You'll get it after a while. Now therefore, perform the doing. Verse 11. The doing of it. That as there was a readiness to promise or to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. You promise, it's time to fulfill your promise. Well, if there be first a, verse 12, there must first be a what? A willing mind. A willing mind. God does not endeavor to bring anybody into his kingdom who are kicking and screaming not to become a part of his kingdom. Not accepted. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man has, and not according to what somebody else has. For I mean not that other men be I don't mean, I'm not trying to say that others are be eased and you be burdened. That's not my goal. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to what they need. May be the answer to what they need. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. Isn't that wonderful? He can write this kind of letter in those ages. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered the little had enough. Everyone had enough. For indeed he accepted the exhortation. But being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, talking about the letter that Paul is writing to these saints that he has dealt with and that he has talked with a year ago regarding helping the needy saints. Step over to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What is touching the ministering to the saints? It is superfluous for me to write to you. I don't really need to do this. I know you want to help. But just in case. For I know the willingness. I know the forwardness of your mind. For which, are you following me? Verse 2. For which I do what? I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Now Macedonia has done a good job. Given out of their great poverty. Willingly. Joyfully. And I've been bragging about y'all over in Corinth. I boast of them, verse 2, middle part, I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked a lot of other congregations. You yet, I'm trying to block up every avenue. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf or in this project. But I said, you may be ready. Verse 3, again, what is Paul doing? Paul is letting the church at Corinth know that I've been bragging on you all over here in Macedonia. Isn't it wonderful to be a bragged on congregation by an apostle? Lest happily, I'm writing this, lest perhaps, verse 4, if they of Macedonia come with me. I've been over here in Macedonia bragging on you all. Now, what if some of the folk from Macedonia follows me over to Corinth and find you what? Unprepared. We, that we may not, you, seems to be what he's saying, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. We've been over here boasting about you all over in Corinth. Now, what if some of the folk from Macedonia come with me to Corinth? Therefore, verse 5, for this reason, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before we get there unto you. You get that? And make up beforehand your gift to the saints, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. It's something that you want to do, and you are willing to do it. But this I say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he which soweth sparingly, and this is good to know. Sounds like something our parents told us when we were younger in a different language. But this I say, he which soweth a little bit sparingly shall reap also a little bit. And he which soweth bountifully shall what? Reap also bountifully. Now, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Come to church on Sunday morning and come back on Sunday night. The Lord is well pleased with that. Bountifully, letting him know that you have time for him and you love him. Every man, according as he plans or designs or purposes in his heart, give. Give. Don't just give, but have a good attitude about your giving. Not grudgingly, not screaming and hollering, or of necessity. For God, is verse 7 in your Bible? For God has a special attitude towards those who serve him willingly, gladly, and joyfully. I hate coming back to night church. Might as well not come. Every man, according as he has designed a purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God what? The word is loveth. Loveth. Which means what? Anytime you talk to the Lord, he can say, I love the church at 3201 Sandy Lane. Praise God. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Not only does he love a cheerful giver, look at verse 8. Don't forget to read verse 8. And God is what? God is able. God is able to do what? To make it happen. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency unto all things may abound to what? That should be one of your favorite verses in the Bible. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency, all things, may abound to every good work. I don't know if I can help with that. Is it a good work? You're a child of God? You can help. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. He keeps his word. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Isn't that? He says, you can't lose with the stuff God uses. We cannot lose by loving God, by living in harmony with God's word. There is no losing. This is the same man that died by the guillotine, all because he was a gospel preacher. He said, you can't lose. Even at that, I can't lose. If you take my life, that'll settle it. Because right now, I'm torn between the twigs. I don't know whether I want to stay and preach the gospel or go and be with the Lord. So heads I win, tails I win. What a way to live life on planet Earth. What a way to live. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. From verse 9 again. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your. Is that verse in your Bible? Verse 10? Multiply. Not add to it, but multiply the seed sown, and increase the fruits of your doing, of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth. Wait a minute, which causes through us thanksgiving to God by what we're doing. The saints will be joyful, appreciative. Thank you and thank God for your liberality. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. They are praising God, thanking you and praising God, thanking you. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, which teaches liberality, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And they are praying for you. Macedonia and Corinth, two bragged on congregation. Are you happy tonight? Are you well pleased tonight that you are a member of the Church of Christ and you worship at 3201 Sandy Lane with a bragged on congregation? Thank God for every member of this, his bragged on congregation. Let us not let him down, but keep marching on in the pathway of duty, never to fail him, never to stop, and never to turn around. Now I can stop or keep preaching. There's a chapter 10 in this letter. Peace. All is well. This is quite a compliment. to this church at Corinth. This is an apostle. An apostle. A hand-picked apostle. Of course, they were all hand-picked by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is bragging on this congregation because of the spirit that they have. They are not complaining, well, we don't have nothing. But they are sharing what God has blessed them to have. Gladly with others. Let us have the mindset by his grace, I will do all that God calls upon me to do as I walk this Christian walk on planet Earth. We only get one opportunity. That's why we live. We have been, by the grace of God, brought into the family of God to be a prize of how our Lord and Savior thinks and wants us to think and act. And the spirit that we as his sons and daughters have regarding helping other saints. Let us not grow weary, as I said heretofore, in well-being. The lesson is yours. If you're here and you have not walked with the Lord, come tonight. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. You don't know when you're going to leave. I don't know when I'm going to leave. Make it right with God. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the church that Paul is a member of, and I think you already know that Paul is a member of the Church of Christ, you can become a member of the Church of Christ tonight. The good news of God is that he sent his son to die for us. The good news of God that his son came, lived, bled, and died, chose 12 men to carry his message. Lived, son, went back to glory. After his sojourn on planet Earth, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to those 12 men. Judas was replaced. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. We have some of their writings. It's called the New Testament. Obeying the same, we, you, can become what we are, adopted members of the family of God. He adopts us. Ephesians chapter 1, not just now. Your Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. He adopted us before then. That's in your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1. He's already waiting for you to give your life. He knows who's going to be accepting of his doctrine and want to walk in favor, live in favor with him. I pray, God, that you're one of those people. You've heard the gospel, believe it. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. God adds you to his family, adopts you, and sends his Holy Spirit to indwell your heart that you might be enabled to live the life that he is calling you to live. If you're in the body, you've walked away, come on home tonight. You don't know when you're going to be called off the scene. Renew your covenant and rededicate your life. Right now, as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb.